Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. So excited that you would spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation. And so as always, I hope you have family and friends, maybe your pets, and that you have your cup of joe ready to go and the Word of God open. I want to make a bold promise to you this morning that if you'll apply the Word of God that we're going to teach today, I promise you will absolutely change the world around you. And I know that's a bold statement, but before we get to our study today, you need to know a couple things. Is number one is that we're here to minister to you. And so if you need prayer for anything at all, please, you can email us your prayer request at info@everynationnj.org. Or if you would like, you can just remain on our Facebook live feed, and immediately following the service today, that we'll have a virtual prayer counselor here to pray with you in person. And so I encourage you to do that. I want to as well just let you know that we have what we call virtual hospitality, and it's an opportunity for you to meet with our pastoral staff. Maybe you have a question about the message today that you would like to discuss or have answered. You can join us. I'm going to be there today, virtual hospitality. And in order to get that, our Zoom video conference call, just remain on the broadcast. And at the end of our service today, we'll have it listed and that, so you can phone in and video chat with me or maybe another pastor on our team. And so hope to see you at virtual hospitality. And then, finally, just a quick reminder to our parents. Parents, I want you to know that our next gen ministry, they're going on despite the fact we can't meet in person. And our children's ministry, our tweens ministry, and our youth ministry are absolutely flourishing. And so if your youth, child, or tween are not involved and you would like them to be, please just email us at info@everynationnj.org, and we will give to you all the information you need that your kid or your child or your tween might be able to engage in life-giving ministry throughout the week. And so, all right, we're going to get into our tithe and offering message, and I'm going to name drop. How many have heard of a guy by the name of Tim Tebow? I don't know if you remember, but Tim Tebow really helped put on the map the scripture that really the only one I've memorized is John 3:16. You might recall that he wore John 3:16 underneath his eyes during a collegiate football game, and things began to launch. The legend of Tim Tebow grew from there. And in fact, in 2011, he was traded to the New York Jets, which I know you are familiar with the fact that myself and Pastor Shino Prater were the chaplain for the New York Jets. And the good news this season is the evil empire is going to break up because Tom Brady is gone, and this is the Jets' season. Bank on it. But back to our normally scheduled program, all right, is Tim Tebow. You might remember back in 2010, he was playing for the Denver Broncos, and something amazing happened. Not only did he throw the game-winning touchdown pass in overtime to defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers, but afterwards, he was approached by the team's publicist, and he found out something quite incredible. The publicist was just bubbling over with excitement. He's like, "Tim, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this." And as we're talking about John 3:16, the publicist said this, that Tim threw for exactly 316 yards. That the yards per completion were 31.6. The time of possession was 31.6. That during the game, some 90 million people Googled, "What does John 3:16 mean?" And so I say all that to, like, is that not a cool story? Like, God was just at work. John 3:16, I want to read it for you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Listen, that Tebow story is a cool story, but you know what's even cooler? God loved you so much that he gave his treasured son. And this is our opportunity where we can give back to God, who's graciously given so much to us. And so if you're giving a tithe, you can give three ways virtually. Is one, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit on the giving icon. Or secondly, you can go to our PushPay texting app. Just text ENCNJ to the number 77977. It's a super convenient way to give. My family and I give that way. And then lastly, you can always mail in your check or money to 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plain, New Jersey. God bless you as you give. All right, into our message this morning. Start with a quick story. September 11th, 2001, our nation enacted what's known as Operation Yellow Ribbon. Terrorists had knocked down the World Trade Center and hijacked a plane and ran it into the Pentagon. And so our nation's capital sent out the Operation Yellow Ribbon that our airspace was to be shut down. And suddenly 38 jumbo jets up and down the eastern coast were forced to land in Gander, Newfoundland, Canada. I'm sure you're all familiar with Gander. Gander, population 9,600, and suddenly 38 jumbo jets were forced to land in little Gander, Newfoundland, Canada. There were some 6,700 passengers. So the population of Gander almost doubled in an instant and in a moment. And so these 38 jumbo jet, these 6,700 passengers were forced to remain on their plane for 24 hours as the nation was trying to get their bearings and find out what was taking place. And there was silence on the planes. Like, they couldn't get information, no cell phone calls going in or out, so nobody knew what was going on. And then finally, after the 24 hours, they escorted the 6,700 people into an airplane hangar. And it's at that moment that the people of Gander went into action. That the people of Gander, that they actually filled 2,000 prescriptions for people that were sick and needed certain drugs. They supplied an endless supply of diapers for parents that were traveling with kids. They had actually on the flight, they had 9 cats and 11 dogs, and get this, 2 endangered species of monkey were on these, and all these animals were cared for. The people were hungry, and as they got off the plane, each of them were presented with a warm, hot meal and a travel bag with toiletries so they could tend to themselves. That in Gander, they had actually a bus strike at that time, but people put down their picket signs and they rallied together for these people in need. And they drove, they drove people to hotels. And once the hotels filled up, as you knew they would, then the people, the residents of Gander, took in these strangers who they just referred to as the plain people. And they took them into their home. They loved them. They cared for them. They fed them and gave them a warm bed to sleep at night. If that wasn't enough, we also know that on these flights, that there's actually a group of terminally ill children on their way to Disney World. It was like a make-a-wish moment for these kids, and suddenly they couldn't go. So what do the people of Gander do? They rally and they make a makeshift Disney World for these kids. They dress up their pets and they have mock parades, and they dressed up in costumes and they fed the kids carnival food, and the kids absolutely had a blast. And if that wasn't cool enough, that there was so much warmth and love displayed by these people, that actually, do you know that there's 2 individuals that were the plain people that got caught up in it? They fell in love and would eventually be married. Isn't that an amazing story? Like, the kindness of the people of Gander. It was so breathtaking, so awe-inspiring, that they wrote a best-selling novel about it and a Broadway play. And it's because there's something captivating and intoxicating about the display of kindness in the earth. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We're currently in a series we just called Love Is, and we're going to talk today about the reality that love is kind. I'm going to be reading from last week's text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, and check it out with me. The Apostle Paul says this, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." And so we're going to talk today about love is kind. I love this quote by Mark Twain. He says this, that kindness is a language that deaf people can hear and blind people can see. Kindness is the language that deaf people can hear and blind people can see. And so kindness is this mega theme throughout your scriptures. Like the word kind is used over 400 times in your Bible. The word kindness is used over 200 times. And so it's this mega thing, theme about the kindness of God, that love is kind. And so in our text today where Paul says love is kind, it's interesting. That word for kind, it's the only time it's ever used in your Bible because Paul invented a new word, right? And this is not unprecedented because Pastor Dottie Flanagan, an elder, just an unbelievably amazing minister. Pastor Dottie, though, she tends to make up new words on her own as well. So many of you are familiar that Dottie invented the word wordage, where I think she took the word word and verbiage and she just mashed them together and we got wordage. You'll know this, that people, you're not a millennial, but you're a millennium. And so that took place. And then my most recent favorite is that Pastor Dottie informed us that we're in the COVID-19 pandemic. Pastor Dottie, I got to bust you on that. But listen, Pastor Dottie, you're in good company because the Apostle Paul, he makes up this new word. And this word, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it in the Greek, but what Paul is basically saying is that love, it acts kindly. Like it is active. It's in motion. You can feel it and sense it. So our definition for today, I'm going to rip this off from Pastor Rick Warren for kindness is this. Kindness is compassion in action. Kindness is compassion in action. And so I think it's important that we need to differentiate between nice and kind. All right. I think this is unbelievably important. Like nice is polite. I don't know if you're familiar, but the word polite, the etymology, it's actually from the word polished. And so it has this, you know, something that's polished on the outside, but we don't know what's going on the inside. And so nice is more worried about the person that's doing the nice act than it is about the person, the recipient. All right. Now, kind is personal. Someone that's kind is something very, very personal. So someone who's being nice will say hello, but someone who's kind is going to give that person a hug. Here's another one. Like nice people will ask, "Hey, how are you?" But kind people will really want to know how they're doing, right? And so listen, we want to be a kind people because love is kind. Here's our first point today is that, did you know that you have been designed to be kind? You have been designed to be kind. Do you know why? Because you have been created in the image of God, and God is a kind God. I'm going to read for you Psalm 145, verse 17. The psalmist says this, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works." Like that we serve a kind, loving God. And you don't have to look far to see the kindness of God. Just begin to look at his creation. Like how kind is God? We see when God creates in Genesis 1, he doesn't create humanity until what? He creates the structure, the air, the sea, the land, the atmosphere, all these things. What? Then he creates man in an environment where man can flourish because God is kind. How about this? That God makes food to taste. I mean, how good and kind is God? Like, he didn't even have to make that stuff taste good, all right? But he did that. We have to recreate as human beings. How kind is God that he made that a pleasurable experience, right? And all God's people said amen. And so we see the kindness of God, right, even down to the details. Did you ever pay attention to this? Like, my eyebrows, like, I can make my eyebrows grow at will, right? I wish I could do that on the top of my head. But I don't know if you realize, but you know, your eyebrows have been designed by God to remove a sweat so it wouldn't get into your eyes. Like, God's into the details because we serve a kind God. And so God creates us, this kind God, and he sends us on a mission into the earth to reflect his kindness into the earth. Paul will say it just somewhat differently in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says this, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Like, God has prepared kind acts, kind works for you and I to walk in as image bearers of God, because God is kind. And so, listen, I think this is a lousy illustration, but I'll give it. It's what I got today. So my wife and I have this ongoing battle at our home. In our basement, we have this dehumidifier, and she cranks it up to as high as it will go, because if the air isn't getting dehumidified, they're sucking out the moisture out of the air. It starts to stink a little bit. We have three dogs, and it just feels not good, right? The air quality doesn't feel good, and so she always wants to keep that dehumidifier up. I'm cheap or frugal, so I don't like to like keep that thing running all the time. So we go back and forth, turning it up and down. But the dehumidifier, what it's designed to do is take in just that bad moisture, to separate it out, and then to release pure, dry air into the atmosphere. And, you know, that's what we're designed to do. That we've read that love is patient. Or last week we said that love suffers long. And so we're in a sinful, broken world. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, we're patient. We suffer long. And so we're able to absorb when we're sinned against. And what is our job? To reprocess that, and then to have love be kind. We're to reprocess that and to release the kindness of God into the earth and into the atmosphere. And so I see this really displayed well by Mark Batterson tells the story of someone, a man by the name of Larry Trapp. He was a grand dragon in the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK. And this man, filled with so much hate in his life, he actually tormented a local Jewish man by the name of Michael Weiser. But then, in just the most ironic turn of events, in Larry Trapp's hometown, you could see him on the front page burning his Nazi flag and tearing up all his KKK literature. And you know why? Because Larry Trapp was diagnosed as a diabetic with a rare kidney disease. But it was Jason Weiser that took Larry Trapp into his home, loved him, cared for him, nursed him back to health. And here's what Trapp said after this. He says, he showed me so much love that I had to love him back, And so we see that is our calling. Why? Because love, it is kind. And so I want to let you know this, that kindness, it's contagious. That, listen, you're worried about catching COVID and doing all that stuff. Listen, far more contagious than COVID is kindness. So listen, I don't know if you know this, but researchers have said this, that smiling is contagious. Did it work? I don't know. You know, they also said this, that smiling makes you more attractive. I'll give it a shot. Swing and a miss? All right. But listen, here's what I do know. Researchers have absolutely determined that kindness, it becomes contagious. And here's the reason why. So when you and I, when we perform a kind act, Do you know that your body releases oxytocin? It's the love drug. It's the love hormone, and it gets released in your body, and then it goes on to release dopamine, serotonin. It lowers our stress levels, just increases our feeling of happiness and joy, all from one act of kindness. Are you getting this? Like, our bodies reward us for being kind. I love when science and research lines up with the scriptures. Do you know it says this in Proverbs 11:17? It says, "A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself." And so we see that now love is the kindness becomes contagious when we see this. Then the recipient of that kindness, oxytocin is released in them. The love drug, serotonin, dopamine, like they get a high off of the kind act that was done to them, and it doesn't stop there. Do you know that the people that observe the act of kindness, that two, their oxytocin levels go up, dopamine, serotonin, they start feeling good, they get a high out of it as well. So I'm not sure if you're catching, doing the math on this, one simple act of kindness, it begins to snowball in all these people's life. And then they're so drawn to the good feeling of oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin in their body that they in turn then want to do the same simple acts of kindness. And so I see an example of this. I love this. I came across this story in Indiana at a McDonald's. And there was an elderly woman, and she's driving through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and she orders whatever. But in her rearview mirror, as she's waiting, she sees a father with three kids climbing over the seats. And the woman just says, "Hey, I want to pay for the order of the man behind me as well. And would you do this? Would you wish him a happy Father's Day?" And so she foots the bill. The guy drives up, and then they let him know, "Hey, the woman in front of you, she paid for it already. You're good to go." And he was so overcome and blessed by a simple act of kindness that he paid for the person behind them, and they paid for the person behind them, and again, and again, and again, until in fact, 167 drive-through customers, they began to pay it forward, doing the same act of kindness. In fact, it never ended. They just had to close the McDonald's down. And so I love the reply of the woman who was working the drive-through window. She says this. She says, "There's so much negativity in the world. Something like this doesn't happen every day." And listen, like she felt it. There was this chain reaction of kindness, and it began with one person. And I want to tell you this. It begins with you. And so here's what I want you to know as well. And I think this is so important as our nation is just being torn apart, just so divided right now. Do you know that kindness, it builds connection? Kindness builds connection. And so I believe that we have a kindness famine in our country right now. Listen, you just go online or just watch some of these TV shows, and everyone is just tearing one another down. It's ripping at the fabric of our country, of our relationships, of our very humanity. But the good news is this, is that, you know, that kindness, it builds a bridge between humanity. So I've been referencing this oxytocin. But I don't know if you know this, but oxytocin, it's also the binding drug, if you will. And so this love drug, it brings people together biologically. And so my wife Susan, like we had two kids, and you know, when I say we, she actually had to do the painful part of delivery. And fellas, let me tell you, as a man, I was thanking Jesus when I had to see all the pain she had to go through to have that baby. But how amazing is God? That did you know this, that when a woman breastfeeds, oxytocin is released, and it begins to help her to forget the pain of childbirth? Because let's just be real. If that didn't happen, there'd be a lot less people in the world, right? But oxytocin not only does that, but it's also the binding drug that knits the heart of a child to her mother That's what oxytocin does. And so when you act kindly to people, you literally, biologically begin to knit yourself with that individual. You build a bridge with that individual. So I heard the great story of Rosario Butterfield. She's an author and speaker. She was an English teacher. She was living a homosexual lifestyle. And she actually wrote an op-ed piece in her local newspaper. It was a scathing piece against Christians, that Christians were judgmental, that they were cruel, they were not deep thinkers. And so, as you can imagine, she got a ton of response after this op-ed piece. And here's what she did. She said she basically was able to put every response into two bins, hate mail and fan mail. And she would just divide them up that way until she came across one man's letter to her. And she said she didn't know where to file it. And here's what she says. She said, it was the kindest letter of opposition I'd ever received. And here's what's crazy. That man was a pastor, a local pastor, and he and his wife began to display hospitality and kindness to Rosario. They would have her over for dinner. They would have discussions about kind of some of their moral differences on things, until finally she was so overcome that she too became a Christian. And you're not going to believe the end of this story. She would marry a man, and that man would be a Presbyterian pastor. How crazy is that? But she said that just because someone was able to disagree with her in a way that was not cruel, that began to build a bridge in their relationship. And so, love is kind. And I think that brings up a great point. Listen, love is kind, but that doesn't mean we can't disagree. All that means is this: we don't have to be disagreeable, right? We can disagree, but love would say, hey, but don't be a disagreeable person. And so, listen, there are times when kindness will demand that you disagree. And I'll just show you that in the scriptures. Psalm 141, verse 5 says this. It says, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Like, in other words, there's times, hey, you're going to be going the wrong way, and it's a kind thing to say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. That God will say this in Romans 2:4, the Apostle Paul says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing, here it is, that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. That sometimes God will have to disagree with us and be against us. Why? Because he's for us. He wants us to repent. And so sometimes we'll have to disagree with people, but it doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable. So you can disagree and still be kind. You can disagree and still be somebody's friend. I love this. So Ellen DeGeneres, I shared this illustration a number of months back, but I just think it's so appropriate. Like Ellen DeGeneres, her and I'm sure there is an unbelievable amount of things that we would not agree on. But Ellen and I, we definitely agree on two things. Number one, she is hysterically funny and unbelievably charismatic. Number two is this quote that she recently gave is this. She says that we should all be kind to people with whom we disagree. And Ellen, I couldn't agree with you anymore. See, the background to this is Ellen was seen at a Dallas Cowboy football game in a luxury box with former President George Bush, and seeing them laughing and have a good time. Well, the Twitterverse and the internet just went berserk because they couldn't believe, because Ellen believes so differently from George Bush, how could they be laughing and having a good time together? And then I love this. She went on her show and she said this. She says, when I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only with the people that think the same way you do. She said, I mean be kind to everyone. And Ellen, I want to give you a big amen to that, because love is kind. And so we can be kind and still disagree with people. How about this? Do you know that kindness means that we can disagree politically and yet still walk together relationally. Now, I know that's mind-blowing in today's world, but we can disagree politically, but yet we can walk together relationally. We see this played out so unbelievably well. And I believe we'll have a picture of this, but Supreme Court Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the late Anton Scalia. It's so funny. They're polar opposites politically, yet they were unbelievably close relationally. Like they were dear friends on the bench, yet they would go at it politically and argue over different political and social issues. And yet in an interview, they interviewed Scalia and they asked this. They said, "How can you two be friends?" And I so love his response. He says this. He says, "I attack ideas. I don't attack people. I attack ideas. I don't attack people." I'm reminded of another quote. The person who said it escapes me, but they said this, to that we're to be ruthless with ideas, but be gentle with people. You know why? Because love is kind, and we're to be a kind people. Listen, I don't know if you think about how unkind as a culture and a society we've come. And with every kind word, unkind word put out there, it begins to divide and separate. Not only that, it dehumanizes people. Like we forget that these people that we're just letting all this venom out on the internet and social media and all these different things, that's a person. Like it's not just a Twitter handle or a Facebook page. That there are people, image bearers of God, that we tend to dehumanize and tear down, and it shouldn't be, because love is kind. So, listen, let me just break down the word kind. You know, the etymology of that word, it comes from the word kin or kind, like kin being like kinfolk, family, the same. And so, we're kind. Why? Because we're kin. We're people. We're image bearers of God, and that we all deserve dignity. And as such, we love and are kind to other people, even if we disagree with them. Why? Because they're kin. We're kind to them because they're kin. And so I saw this amazing story. I believe it took place over in the UK, and this 70-year-old woman is riding the subway. When the doors open and this man, this imposing man, enters the subway car, and he's just on fire. He's mad at the world. He's raging, swearing, and everyone's getting nervous in the subway car, until suddenly the 70-year-old woman, she reaches over and she grabs hold of his hand, and she just begins to hold it and look up at him. I believe we have a picture of it. And as she does that, you can see the calm begin to fall over this young man, and then he just begins to collapse, and his eyes fill up with tears. And so afterwards, the person that snapped that picture, they had to ask this 70-year-old woman, they're like, "How did you know to grab his hand?" And I love her reply. She said this. She says, "I'm a mother of two sons about his age, and I know how life treats them sometimes. All they need is to not feel lonely." So do you see what she did? She kinned that young man. She was kind, because love is kind. And so I want to close with this, because you know that God, he kinned us, that he was kind to us in the gift of his son and the cross of Christ. And so God, he, through the cross of Jesus Christ, he makes us kin. He adopts us as sons and daughters of God. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says this. It says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Like, did you feel that? Like, God was so unbelievably kind to us in giving his son Jesus to absorb our sin on the cross and to love us as kin, as sons and daughters of God. Now we are called to go out and to kin, to be kind, to love others that God puts in our world. I'll just close with this last illustration. So I just want to show you one of these. You see this thing? I've been on this stupid Whole 30 diet for about 3 weeks. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Feels like three. And I'm just waiting to devour this Kind bar. You ever had one of these? They are unbelievably delicious. And the Kind Corporation, it was actually founded by a guy by the name of Daniel Libetsky. Daniel Libetsky, I want to read to you their mission statement. It says this, their mission statement for their company is they're on a mission to make the world a little kinder, one snack at a time. And here's what's so amazing, the backstory in Daniel's life. See, Daniel's father was actually a Holocaust survivor. And as Daniel's father was a little boy, starving, being tortured and abused in a concentration camp, that that there was a Nazi soldier that his father told young Daniel about, that this Nazi soldier, when he saw the starving little boy, he would sneak him food. And see, this one simple act of kindness probably saved Daniel's father's life. And Daniel's father just always shared that story. One act of kindness can make all the difference in an individual's life, that you can change the world one act of kindness at a time. And so listen, God has shown us cosmic kindness in his son, Jesus Christ. And that is the mission statement of Every Nation New Jersey, that we are going to transform the world one life at a time, one act of kindness at a time, because God has shown such great kindness to us, and because love is kind. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. And listen, I want to pray for you this morning. Like, if you don't know Jesus Christ, do you know that the kindness of God is available in Christ Jesus? That God, too, he wants to make you kin. He wants to make you a son or a daughter. And all you need to do is receive his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, yes, but also the God whom you follow. Listen, and if you would like to do that, would you just say this with me? Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and be the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want to assure you, you prayed that prayer. Could you, if you just punch in amen in the chat box, that means so be it. As well, listen, I want to let you know, Every Nation New Jersey, God loves you, God is for you, and let's go out into the world and absolutely change it by displaying that love is kind. God bless you, Every Nation.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.